Welcome to Vienna Insurance Group first quarter update call. Today, Peter Höfinger, our Deputy CEO, Liane Hirner, our CFRO, and Gabor Lehel, our Chief Innovation Officer, will guide you through the presentation and then be available to answer your questions. I hand over to Peter. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon from my side. I would like to start to give you an update of the latest macroeconomic outlook for our region. I believe it shows a pretty positive picture where we are. The GDP growth of the EU members out of our region is forecasted at an average of 2.5%, rising to 3% in 2025, and significantly with this outperforming the euro area, which is projected at 0.6%, and still next year doubling the growth rate than the eurozone. At the same time, the inflation in most of our markets is significantly slowing down and having also a rapid real wage growth, as it is on the ground of falling food and energy prices. Therefore, private consumption is very much supporting the internal growth. Also having in mind that on one hand side, income taxes in most of our countries are much lower than in Western Europe, and that more or less wage increases immediately go into consumption, also this differentiating the wage inflation to Western Europe. I also believe it's quite remarkable seeing these figures, having in mind that during COVID times and afterwards in our region, there were no considerable COVID subsidies out of state budgets, very different to Western Europe, which has quite increased state deficits in Western Europe. On the next page, you can see what has been realized the last 20 years as a catch-up potential. So GDP per capita grew from as low as 30% of Western European levels to over 70%. And I do believe that even in the years to come, this will further accelerate as we see signs that our region is specifically benefiting from the nearshoring trend, corporates in European Union have to make their supply chain more resilient. On one hand side, learnings out of COVID times, on the other hand side, on geopolitical developments which are on the horizon. Next topic is also the digital transformation. In our region, the usage of smartphone and digital devices is much more common than in many other Western European countries. The development here has been taking some steps at once and not step by step as it has been in Western Europe. The green transition is, as we describe it, is both is an opportunity and a challenge. Still, green energy is not yet on a high level in Central Eastern Europe, but therefore also with EU funding, there are many initiatives to grow the renewable energy production. On the next slide, risk awareness. So we made some surveys looking on how risk aware our customers and potential customers in the region is. We see here still a lower awareness of protection, but to the GDP growth and therefore the increased asset accumulation by the population in Central Eastern Europe will increase the demand for protection. We as leader in the region with the largest sales force all over the place, we will put an emphasis in educating our sales force and therefore reducing the risk unawareness of our potential customers, and can overproportionally benefit then from the demand of protection. With this, I would like to hand over to Liane to guide us through the figures. Liane, please.
Thank you, Peter. I am pleased to report that the strong operative performance of VIG is continuing and that the positive trends and developments in terms of top-line growth are still ongoing. In the first 3 months of this year, we achieved gross written premiums in accordance with the new accounting standard IFRS 17 in the size of €4.3 billion. Compared with the gross written premiums based on IFRS 4 at that time, this represents an increase of 11%, so double digits. Our solvency ratio, including transitionals, was at 262%, which is slightly lower than the 269% at year-end 2023. Own funds of 10.287 million euros, slightly below the year-end figure of 10.345 million euros, includes the full consideration of the dividend payment for the current business year 2024. And this is given to our new dividend policy, under which the minimum dividend for 2024 is already set at €1.40 per share. So the dividend, different to previous years, is now fully considered already in the first quarter. So this will flatten out throughout the year. By the way, today is the payment date for the dividend of €1 or €40 for the financial year 2023, which was approved at last Friday's annual general meeting. Now let's move on to slide 8 and the details of the gross written premium development. We achieved growth in all our market segments, excluding the currency effect in the Czech Republic. Premium growth in Austria of 7.8% was mainly driven by index adjustments in non-life and growth in health business. Adjusted for FX effects, premiums in the Czech Republic were up by 4% due to the increase in Casco and other property business. Other property, together with growing health business, were also the drivers for the 7.8% premium increase in Poland. The double-digit premium growth in extended CEE of 10% was mainly attributable to the strong developments in Hungary, supported by sound non-life growth in Romania, Slovakia and the Baltics. In the special market segment, the growth in motor and other business, property business in Turkey, was the main contributor to the roughly 24% increase in gross written premiums. With an overall premium growth of 11% in the first quarter, we see a continuation of the good business performance and our group companies delivering on their targets. On the next page, we show the solvency ratio development, including the transitional since the end of 2022. The solvency capital requirement has remained stable over the period shown at around €3.9 billion. I have already mentioned the development of the own funds, which caused a slight decrease in our solvency ratio of 262% in the first quarter of this year. On slide 10, where we provide the details of the full year 2023 solvency ratio based on the already published SFCR, it's again the eligible own funds that drive the change. Own funds at year-end were mainly impacted by the redemption and repurchase of subordinated bonds in 2023 in a volume of overall €470 million. The SCR development was with a slight decrease of €26 million at year-end 2023, was mainly driven by less life underwriting risk being partly offset by less diversification and a higher health underwriting risk. Maybe worth mentioning on this slide, the increased capital requirement for other financial sectors from €66 million to €98 million is linked to newly acquired pension fund companies in Poland and Romania. With this, I would move on to the sensitivity analysis as of year-end 2023. Our sensitivity for the interest rate curve shift of +100 basis points at year-end 2023 was +16.5%, up from 13% at year-end 2022. As the interest rate level is lower year-on-year, changes or shifts become more relevant. The downward sensitivity remains stable at 19% at year-end 2023, compared to 18.9% at year-end 2022. The equity risk sensitivity as of year-end 2023 increased from 3.7%-7.3%, mainly driven by increased capital requirement for equity risk based on a higher level of symmetric adjustment. The sensitivity on spread developments on bonds, both corporate and government bonds, at year-end increased to -14.9%. This is mainly due to narrower spreads at the year-end of the business year 2023, compared to the end of 2022. Now, before I hand over to Gábor, let me give you a short summary of the current developments. Most important, on the basis of this update, I can confirm our outlook for profit before taxes in the range of 825 million-875 million euros in 2024. Our solvency ratio, excluding transitionals, of 240% remains strong. We are on schedule with the mergers in Poland. We already received the necessary approvals for the non-life mergers, and the approval process for the life companies is underway. Apart from the approval of the dividend proposal in last Friday's AGM, also four new members of the supervisory board got elected. In the constituent meeting following the AGM, Rudolf Erpel was elected new chairman of the supervisory board until end of June 2025, and Peter Thiering, former member of the management board of VIG, will take over from 1st of July 2025, at the end of his cooling off period. With this summary, I would like to hand over to Gábor Lehel to give you an update on our assistance at VIG.
Thank you very much, Liane. As you mentioned, I'd like to give an overview on the assistance activity at VIG. The first step was in the year 2014, as we directly took over the global assistance company in the Czech Republic. The rationale behind this step was that we wanted to give additional services to the insurance policies to the client, generating with this step a better, a higher customer value. On the other hand, assistance services can make a clear differentiating factor for the insurance company, and it can also support some processes, especially on the claims side. And there was also a third point. We believe that with the assistance activity standalone, we can also generate a profit for the group. After 10 years, in 2024, we are active with 10 global assistance companies in 13 countries. This is what you saw on the right-hand side of the slide. In the red-colored countries, we have our own company. Three companies are served also by these companies. Moldova is supported by Romania, Bosnia and Herzegovina by the operation in Serbia, and North Macedonia is supported by the Bulgarian global assistance company. We have more than 540 colleagues dealing with more than  765,000 cases per year. The tendency is growing, and we are very happy to report that in the last years, we were able to reach return on investment over 20%. We were discussing the topic assistance also as part of the VIG 25 strategy. The original rationales we confirmed, underlined, and even extended. Based on that, we had a discussion with our global assistance colleagues, and we defined two strategic dimensions for the further development. The first dimension is the extension of the geographical scope. 2024, we would like to enter two additional countries next to the already existing operation in Lithuania and Latvia. We would also enter the third Baltic country with Estonia, and till the end of 2024 we would like to also include Hungary into the global assistance network. The second dimension, and this is what you saw on the next slide, we created a strategic framework for the development within the countries. This is a kind of framework for the organic growth of the assistance companies. Of course, the main and first element is the preferred partnership with the VIG insurance companies. I think it's very important here, and we see a huge potential also in the co-creation of better and also new services. We believe that these services can strengthen the VIG brand, and we also can attract clients, new clients, where we have a good basis for up and cross-selling possibilities. And what is very important also in the insurance sector nowadays, that we also have the chance with the assistance solution that we have an increasing number of customer touch points. We would like to go further. We would also like to attract new client segments and also new businesses in other sectors. I mean here, for example, the telecommunications sector, utilities, banks, or the automotive sector, and so on. It can give a boost to our economy of scale, leading to another income of source of income. We also believe that this step we can also enhance and strengthen the know-how transfer, which is serving also the VIG insurance corporation. And of course, also here we can attract non-VIG clients with new services, which is again a good basis for cross-selling activities. A third step is that we attract the clients directly with B2C solutions. Here we believe that we have a chance to diversify our sales structure, that we can offer here tailor-made, very personalized products, which give us also as global assistance a better visibility on the market. What we do is that we discuss with this framework with all the companies, all the countries. We consider, of course, the local frameworks, the local conditions of the countries, but also the development phase of the local global assistance company. Maybe one element, I think it's a very important basis for the whole development. We have a very intense and very positive assistance community. We have a structured communication plan for the colleagues, but also between the planned events, they are very active. It is, I think, it's extremely important for the know-how transfer and also for the product development. So to sum it up, the assistance activity is a relevant element of the strategy of VIG with a growing importance. We see that, or we believe that we are quite developed in terms of geographical scope, but we see also their potentials, and where the large potential is the organic growth in the countries with the acquisition of new clients and also new partners. Thank you very much for your attention. I think with this we conclude our Q1 update presentation, and we would be pleased to answer any questions you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question today comes from Bhavin Rathod from HSBC. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my questions. So I have three on my side. The first one would be on the GWP development that we have seen in the first quarter. Would you be able to provide some additional color as in what kind of pricing we are able to get in the first quarter vis-à-vis the kind of volume growth we are seeing, especially in the P&C book. So any details around the pricing versus volume mix would be really helpful. The second one would be on the topic of inflation. Obviously, we are seeing some improvement in the headline inflation. Are you able to say what level of improvement or increase we are seeing on the claim inflation side? And the third one would be on the premium growth that we have seen in Poland. Reading the comment for Poland, I get an impression that the premium growth in the motor part was rather more subdued. So are you able to say what kind of dynamic you are seeing in the Polish motor market in the first quarter? And would you say you are being more conservative on the Polish motor premium growth, given the challenging market that we have been seeing for quite some time? I guess these are the three questions that I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions. All the three are on my side. Starting with premium growth, pricing, P&C. You will have to a little bit differentiate here corporate business with retail business. Corporate business in our region, the main renewal is 1st of January. So the renewal is in the last quarter of last year. We were able in corporate business last quarter last year for this year to further increase our pricings and or change our conditions. This also has to do with the hardening of the reinsurance market. We also have seen here specifically with more local competitors that they have more realized during the renewal change terms and condition in reinsurance, and therefore also where the market was going up in prices. In retail business, the renewal is throughout the year, and depending on the market, there is sometimes automatic index clauses. So if inflation goes down, so also indexation goes down. But this is reflecting then also the basis for the claims inflation, which leads me to the next question. When we talk about claims inflation, also here we have to differentiate very much between motor business and property business. In motor business, it is important to notice that in relation to maybe the rest of Europe, our cars, which we are insuring, have a much higher average age. We are talking here between 13, 15 years, which means also that the spare parts are not so sensor-driven, and also the inflation on this spare part is not comparable with new cars spare parts. At the same time, we are having since years a quite sophisticated garage management all over the place, so we feel quite comfortable with the claims inflation in motor in relation to the indexation of our motor premiums. Property claims inflation is very much correlated to the construction price developments. Here we see over the last 6 to 12 months a quite flattish development. Therefore, we also believe that we are able to well manage the claims inflation in this area. When it comes to Poland, yes, we are under performing in growth in the motor business. This is quite intended by our side. We still do not feel comfortable in all the segments in the motor market in Poland from the risk adequate pricing and are therefore not very much on a growing side in motor business. We do believe that maybe throughout the year we will see some changes on the Polish market, and then our risk appetite in motor business will change accordingly. I hope I've answered your questions.
Perfect. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from Rok Štibrič from RBI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for the presentation. I will have three questions, and to begin with, I'm interested if you might have some high-level estimate available for the combined ratio, perhaps at group level, of course. And second question is related to the reinsurance developments. So have you seen some change in trend in comparison to the last year? Because so far, I think 2024 has been relatively well when it comes to net cat losses. And last but not least, do you have some assessment of the reinvestment yield? Has this number now peaked, or do you think you still have some potential for further increases here? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. For the combined ratio, in the first quarter, we are not announcing the combined ratio. You know, our combined ratio last year, which was 92.67. The first quarter had less weather-related claims activity. I maybe answered in another question the development of pricing and claims inflation. So I think you can have some idea about the development of the claims, of the combined ratio. When we come to reinsurance trends, there was a different renewal for this year. It was much more structured than it was the year before. There was enough capacity available by the reinsurance industry. On the other hand side, reinsurance industry kept discipline and was very much focused on reinsurance contracts which were claims affected to change their conditions. It was not always so much the topic of prices, it was also the topic of retentions. When it comes to NatCat, we do have a big advantage in placing our NatCat program. On one hand side, we are placing it for the whole group. So before we go to the reinsurance industry, we have natural diversification. We are having two modeling companies modeling our portfolio. We are the market leader in the region, so most probably it's one of the highest quality programs where large reinsurance companies with one signature can get the diversification from CEE in their portfolios. For this, we are asking for an attractive price. Therefore, we do see pressure on pricing in NatCat, but we feel comfortable in relation to the prices which we get from the primary side.
I'm happy to answer your last question, your third question, regarding the assessment of the reinvestment yield. I can give you the numbers. For 12 months, 2023, the average new investment yield of total VIG was 5.5%, and this compares to the first quarter 2024 with 5%. Total VIG. I hope this answers your questions.
Yes, thank you very much. Very helpful.
The next question comes from Thomas Unger from Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for the presentation and also taking my questions. I'd like to come back to the solvency ratio and the development that you've seen in Q1 with the slight retreat. Can you confirm that the requirement remained stable also in Q1, and that the decline is solely due to the decrease in own funds? And I didn't quite get it. Is the dividend for 2024 now included in the own fund calculation? So the minimum level for next year. That's my first question on solvency ratio. Second question would be, you've talked about you touched upon the weather related claims. What did you see in Q1 in terms of large claims and also Nat Cat events? Anything to date in Q1 or Q2 for the first half of 2024? And then anything else? If you reiterated your targets for profitability targets for 2024, is there anything that you can tell us about the operating trends in Q1 and now going into Q2? Anything that affects the business operating result materially would help. Thank you very much.
So thank you for your question. I'm happy to answer your question regarding, or to clarify your questions regarding solvency ratio. The development in Q1, when we come to the solvency capital requirement, this is in line with the increase of the volumes and premium growth and business increase in the first quarter, so a slight increase in the SCR, and also in the counterparty default risk, we have in the first quarter an increase due to the fact that companies, and including the VIG holding, is preparing for interest or for dividend payments, so we have more cash in the first quarter usually. And when it comes to the own funds, it's correct that due to our new dividend policy, which says that the last year's dividend is the minimum dividend, we now have to include the 2024 dividend already fully in the first quarter. So this will flatten out over the year. In the last years of the old dividend policy, we had always one-fourth of the planned dividend in each quarter. So we had an increase in the ratio out of that. Now we had to change how we account for the dividends in the solvency calculation. And also not to forget, even the solvency calculation with transitionals, we also have to decrease the own funds by the full effect of the transitionals. We lose about 100 million euros per year on funds due to the decrease of transitionals, and this also has to be fully taken into account in the first quarter. But this will also flatten out over the year. And no other specifics or special topics or trends to be mentioned regarding the solvency capital requirement and the solvency ratio.
To your question to weather-related claims, as mentioned, there was a lower activity of weather-related claims. Also, maybe to remind, last year in the first quarter, there were also the earthquake in Turkey. Net figures I can give you. The net weather-related claims is 21 million in the first quarter this year in relation to 50 million last year. Maybe to your last question, I am not aware of any operational exceptional events in the first quarter.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, for any further questions, please press star and one. And our next question comes from Yodish Shikori. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. And can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? Yeah, hi. So I've got three questions as well. I mean, the first one is really to just go back on your opening comments on the improved economic outlook in the markets you operate and the various drivers you talk about. I'm just wondering, can you talk about, you know, how this will impact your life business versus your PNC business? Because in PNC business, some markets have been seeing higher frequency. So I'm just wondering if you could elaborate on that to start with. And then secondly, on the reinvestment yield, was that for the total group and that was just fixed income yield, or was that the total investment portfolio? And then lastly, in the Polish market, you've talked about, you know, like you pulling back because the pricing is not adequate enough. I think one of your major peers saw quite a deterioration in Q1 because of a rising frequency. I mean, have you seen similar development? Thank you.
So I'll take over the second question regarding the reinvestment yield. I can confirm that the 5% relate to the total investment portfolio of VIG Group.
Okay, right.
Coming to your topic of frequency, here again, in the property business, frequency is stable. In motor business, frequency is also, and I'm talking for the group, not for a specific market, is also stable, and it's still a little bit below pre-COVID times. One of the hypotheses why this could be is that obviously in the COVID time for the lockdowns, many of people from Central Eastern Europe, which are working in Western Europe, in France, Spain, Germany, Austria, returned home for the lockdown, and not all of them went back to Western Europe. We see this in Austria in the tourism industry, where we are looking for employees, because obviously from our neighboring countries, people found jobs back home after the lockdown, which means also that there is less mileage driven internationally on weekends or once a month, where people were commuting from countries where they were working back home, which can be one of the drivers that overall frequency in motor is slightly below what we saw pre-COVID. When it comes to Poland, I think I have nothing to add. Yes, we are not very, with our risk appetite in motor business is limited currently in Poland for profitability reasons. I think I have mentioned it.
And you know, on the different outlook for life and health versus PNC, based on, you know, the macroeconomic outlook?
What I can tell you is that health business is growing all over the place, and this has to do also with the macroeconomic outlooks. If there is more disposable income, people are also willing to spend part of their money for a private health insurance. This we see all over the place in Central Eastern Europe, but also in health in Austria. When it comes to life, this is different market by market. For example, we see a quite attractive growth ratio in Romania in regular premiums, which also has to do with a very successful banking distribution, which we have in Romania. We are also quite reasonably developing the life business again in Austria. With the rising interest rates of the last 2 years, also classical products are again gaining attractiveness, and not yet, but first signs that also single premium business can accelerate in the forthcoming future.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question, and I would like to hand back to Nina for closing comments.
So thank you for your interest in this Q1 update of Vienna Insurance Group. We look forward to presenting the half-year results, then again in more detail on the 28th of August. And if you have any questions in the meantime, please do not hesitate to contact us in the Investor Relations Department. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.